Okay, so today the Dallas Mavericks made a huge trade.
Kristaps.
Yes, and I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say about it.
Well, it's awesome. I mean, to get Kristaps Porzingis. Like,
Porzingis.
We turned Dennis Smith Jr., who a week before was going to help us get Evan Fournier, into Kristaps Porzingis. And finally, a team is stupid enough out there to think that salary cap is so important that our one-year deals finally got us a guy. Yeah. And if any team was willing to do that, of course, it's the New York Knicks. Thankfully for us and for the Mavericks, we got Kristaps. Our future is set.
Yeah, so they turned Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, and DeAndre Jordan.
Couple first-round picks, but who cares?
Yeah, I mean, this going forward, the Mavericks don't really plan on having high picks. So they turned those guys into Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke, and Courtney Lee. Now, I mean, I'm not excited. Like, the other three guys, it's like, whatever. But I do think Hardaway could be a decent shooting guard.
Well, Hardaway's better right now. A better player than Wes Matthews. Now, that's not saying much. Don't get me wrong. Matthews is not exactly, you know, that 3-and-D guy that is so coveted.
That everyone thinks he
is. Yeah, that he used to be. But Hardaway is a better player than Matthews. Obviously, you still have to pay him as much as you're paying Matthews and for another year. So you don't like that, but he's still better.
So I don't know if he's better. Because, so he's averaging...
You know what? It doesn't even matter because we got Kristaps Porzingis. I don't care who we got with him.
Now I'm just overanalyzing everything. I mean, Hardaway, everyone knows, is shooting a terrible percentage this year. He's at...
So is Matthews.
39% overall. However, he's shooting 34, almost 35% from the three-point line, which I think for the Mavericks is more intriguing than anything else.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, the argument could be made that he has a lot of contested shots because, well, who else is taking them? And with Luka and with the Mavericks, he'll be able to get more catch-and-shoot three-pointers. That's really what we should look at, is what is his percentage on catch-and-shoot three-pointers compared to Wes Matthews. He is a better defender than Wes Matthews. Again, that's not saying much. That's only because Wes Matthews is terrible at defense this year. Courtney Lee is a solid role player.
Courtney Lee, surprisingly, I'm more excited about than Tim Hardaway Jr.
Mainly because Lee is proven.
Yeah.
Like he's been on good teams. He's contributed on good teams.
You know what you're going to
exactly.
get.
Exactly. And Trey Burke is just kind of a, you know, we needed backcourt depth because we're losing Dennis and we lost JJ for the year. But ultimately,
It's Porzingis.
And the fact that we got Kristaps to pair him with Luka Doncic for who knows how long together, I mean, that has a chance to be really special.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only looking at these other guys because, well, they have them, you know, and Matthews is gone. So one of these guys has to start. Obviously, it's probably going to be Hardaway Jr. I think his three-point shooting is intriguing. Courtney Lee is like the prototypical journeyman. He's been on so many teams. But you know what you're going to get. I mean, it's probably 9 to 12 points. He's a decent three-point shooter, career 39% from the three-point line.
Solid defender.
Yeah, pretty good defender. So I think that both of them fit in pretty well. I mean, I don't know if they move the needle at all, but I mean, they got some guys who don't suck. And then Trey Burke, I think, will be gone after this season. I think...
Yeah,
I don't think he's really anything.
I don't think the Mavericks were really even concerned.
They don't even care.
At this point, they told the Knicks, you pick who you want to come back. Because, you know, they're trying to get salary cap space because they think that they're going to be a team to sign two max deals, which no one's going to the Knicks. I mean, for crying out loud, they're like one of the worst
organizations. What are you talking about? They could get Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins and LeBron and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, nobody's going
All of
there.
Those guys, they're going to have so much cap space.
Yeah, you know, the Mavs have had cap space for 20 years. And you know how many players we've signed?
Hey, they got
Chandler Parsons
and
Harrison
Barnes.
Yeah, he lasted a year and a half. Oh, HB? Yeah,
so Harrison. One thing I will say is that I am glad that they were able to keep Harrison Barnes. And I know that there's a lot of people that hate Harrison. And I get it. All the things they say, I agree with. He doesn't pass out of drives. He's a very, like, one-dimensional. He's a specialist, I would say. But I think he's a solid role player. He's been a solid role player on a championship team. I think he looked worse because they didn't have anyone else, but I think he's the kind of role player you want.
It's simple with Harrison Barnes. Don't let him do anything but catch and shoot.
Yeah.
If he's,
and the occasional post-up.
I mean, if, okay, maybe until Porzingis is back, but if anybody's posting up as Porzingis, your second post-up option should be Luka. Because Luka's a better post-up player. Now, if those guys aren't getting it done, then you can make that argument. But he's such a black hole. He never passes it out when he's driving the lane or taking a contested shot. So he's good at catching shooting threes, and that's about it. So Harrison Barnes isn't the guy that takes you over the edge or whatever, however you want to phrase it. But he's better than what else they have.
Yeah, so they traded Wesley Matthews, who is averaging 13 points, shooting 38% from the three-point line. And then DeAndre, he's averaging a double-double, 11 points, 13.5 rebounds. But we know, like, the effort isn't consistent. He makes some really bad passes, which might be him, might be the offense, who knows. But the fact is that he does it. And it's just not, his defense isn't what it used to be or what you would expect.
If the Mavs were playing the Clippers every night, then he's great because his energy was there. He was blocking shots. He was defending shots. But there's so many times where he just stands there and watches the guy go up for a layup. And he does that more times than not. There was no fear for any team to drive the lane on the Mavericks. So I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad we finally got rid of Wes Matthews. These
four years
of misery,
4 years
and suffering, he is finally gone.
And like, it's mean because I hear all the time that he's such a nice guy and a good locker room guy. And that's great. I'm sure he is a good person. But just on the court, he really never fit in with this. And I don't know if it was him or if it was the way Carlisle used him, but he never contributed the way you expected him to.
No.
He never lived up to the contract or just expectations based on his past, not experience, but what he had done in the past.
With Portland. He was a really good player.
Yeah, and he just wasn't guy, that.
Obviously, we don't want to forget Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah, okay,
I know there's a lot of Dennis Smith, there's a love fest out there for Mavericks fans, but come on. You can't be mad at this trade. You turn Dennis Smith Jr. into Kristaps Porzingis. There's nothing you can say that tells me that's not a good trade.
And I mean, so we weren't like Smith fans. I thought he was an okay player, but totally expendable, like totally tradable. Well,
especially now that you got Luka.
Yeah, and that was the real problem. Is it wasn't that Smith was awful or all this other stuff. It was just that they had two point guards. They had two point guards that have to start, and you got to pick one of them, and that's just all there is to it.
And one of them couldn't play off the ball.
Yeah, and Dennis that was Smith. The other
now,
problem.
If Smith could play off the ball, Luka, then yeah, we're probably if Dennis Smith showed promise that he was going to be a star, and I know all these Dennis Smith fans, like, what are you talking about? He wasn't any good. You got a proven star in Porzingis. How could you be mad? And then not only that, can you imagine a pick and roll with Luka and Porzingis? Who do you guard? It puts so much pressure on the defense. You either can have, because Porzingis can roll and he can throw it down. He can get up, which Carlisle loves the alley-oop in his offense. But he can also be a pop guy, and he's smart enough to figure out which one he wants to do. So it's going to be exciting to see.
At this point, you surround them with shooters and 3-and-D guys, I think. But you can't just, I think Hardaway, you still want to try to upgrade.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm throwing out the name Klay Thompson.
He's not coming to Dallas.
I'm just saying if he want to leave, I think this is appealing to him.
Yeah, we also have to see what their salary caps be. They may not have enough money to sign a max guy this offseason. Now, I think they're still going to have some money to sign somebody, but I don't think it's going to be. And Klay Thompson isn't leaving. If he was going to leave Golden State, it'd be to go play with LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. Not that Anthony Davis is there yet, but we all know that's going
to
happen.
I don't think Klay Thompson would go to the Lakers. Because
he's not coming to Dallas.
Yeah, but I don't think he'd go to the Lakers.
Now,
he strikes me as the guy who was still into the whole, like, rivalry and you know, not joining LeBron and hating him mm-hmm. and not being friends with everybody. He strikes me as that kind of guy still.
And the Mavericks could benefit, you know, remember when they got Harrison Barnes? It was only because Kevin Durant decided to go to Golden State, so they had to let Harrison Barnes walk, and the Mavericks capitalized on that. Something like that could happen this year, depending on where these free agents decide they want to go. The current player they have may need to be moved in order to make that happen. Let's say DeMarcus Cousins, they want to keep Cousins and Clay. Where does that put Draymond Green? They'd have to trade him. They couldn't, unless Cousins played another year for $5 million, which isn't going to happen.
I don't want Draymond Green.
Well, though. I'm just giving you a scenario. I know you hate Draymond, but I'm just giving you a scenario that may happen for the Mavericks. So they still might be able to get somebody.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't even care about that because...
We got Porzingis.
They got Porzingis, yeah. So before the injury this year, in 48 games, he was averaging almost 23 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1 assist, over 2 blocks, shooting 44%, 40% from the 3-point line. And that was in 32 minutes a game, which mm-hmm. is probably what he's going to play with Carlisle.
Yes, which is probably better for him because with his knees.
He's so tall.
You don't want to, you know, wear him out. You got to see how his body adjusts to playing a full season, which I don't know if he's even done that yet. Played a full season.
He has not. The most he's played is 72 games, which I mean, that's pretty close. Yeah. As a rookie, he played 72. His second year, he played 66. And then this year, he played 48.
Yeah.
And so, they say he's healthy now. They just haven't played him. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I'm not really worried about the injury because I've heard that he's completely healthy and they're just not playing him. So I think he's fine. I'm not worried about the ACL.
Yeah, I've heard that he's ready to go now. I've also heard he's going to be reevaluated in February, which starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if he's ready to go and he can get on the court, the sooner the better. A lot of people are saying he might be able to play the last 15 to 20 games of the season. I don't really care. I mean, you just need to see... Really, you need to see what Luka and he can do together. Yeah. So that way you can see what you need to surround them. And I think 3 long, athletic, defensive 3-point shooters to put with them too. Because, you know, Luka is not the greatest defender. And Porzingis is actually a really good switch defender. He's able to stay with the guards and block their shots because he's so long. But you got to see what you need to put around them going into free agency.
So I'm going to take a quick look at free agents because I agree with you that what they need is like strong wing defenders that can also shoot. And we actually did a free agency rundown in a couple episodes ago. But I mean, everything has changed now. So just going through some guys.
We go through that, because we got to assume Barnes is going to opt in. Right. Unless he has a huge end of the season, he's probably going to opt in. If he opts out, great. I don't think the Mavs re-sign him, and that gives the Mavericks a lot of money.
For the right price.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
But if he opts in, your 3/4 is covered, so you need 2 other wings. Where does Maxey play in that? If they like mm-hmm. Maxey at the 4. So to me, that position next to Luka, that other guard position, is their top priority going into this offseason.
Yeah, so it does depend on how much money they have. That's true. And depending on that, I do think they should go after Klay Thompson. Yeah, he fits that mold perfectly. And if he comes, then you win. Mm-hmm. If they don't, just looking at free agents, other guys that might fit in.
At the guard role, you got Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
You got Eric Bledsoe.
I was thinking Chris Middleton. He has a player option.
He's going to opt out, but he's going to get a max.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that this is that scenario I was telling you about. The Bucks are going to have to keep Middleton. They won't be able to keep Bledsoe and Malcolm Brogdon. So the Mavericks might be able to capitalize on that, depending on how much salary cap space they have.
Terrence Ross. He's small forward. Right, you know. Yeah. I mean... You know, and I had talked about one guy that I wanted was J.J. Redick. He's not really a great defender, so maybe they pass on that now because they definitely need that.
Well, yeah, but can you imagine Luka, Redick, Porzingis out there shooting threes with Maxi? He's a good three-point shooter. And Barnes, I mean, the three-point shooting would be unbelievable. Now they would have to outscore a team every night because of the defense, but I still think you go after him. I mean,
Danny Green.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I think about with Carlisle is he wants another playmaker. Danny Green's not a playmaker, and we've seen what it looks like trying to make a non-playmaker a playmaker with Wesley Matthews and Harrison Barnes. It doesn't work out right. So I think personally they're going to go after like a Malcolm Brogdon or an Eric Bledsoe or a player like that who can play off the ball, defend the ones, but also make plays.
Kent Bazemore.
He's all right.
Yeah. So I think your number one guy is Klay Thompson, and then the guys that you mentioned. Yeah. And then again, it depends on their contracts. So that's something that I don't really know now.
It depends also on Maxey's development, if you think he's the starting four going into next season. And it depends on Harrison Barnes, whether he opts in or not.
Yeah. But either way, they have their future looks good. And I'm not worried about, you know, they said Porzingis is going to sign his qualifying offer, which means he'll be a free agent next summer. I'm not worried about that. I think he wants to get a big long-term deal with the cap being higher next summer.
Well, they don't, there's been conflicting reports. There's one of them that said that, another one that said, no, he has no plans on signing it, whatever. Either way, I don't think he's going to leave the Mavericks after one season, especially if he's playing with his idol, Dirk, and playing with his buddy, Luka. So I think...
Who should have been an all-star.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that. Let's not jump. We got big news first with Porzingis. we'll see.
I wonder if Stephen A. Smith still calls him Porzingis.
He still calls Doncic.
No, it's Doncic.
Doncic. Yeah. Doncic.
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 I don't know. They can never say it right. So, yeah, the Mavericks got Kristaps, and it was so awesome. I was reading every tweet that Woj was sending out about Porzingis, the first one about him not being happy there, and he, you know, the Knicks came away thinking that he wanted to be traded. And then Woj sent a tweet, New York is close to a deal with acquire. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? And then he goes, oh, correction, Dallas. I almost jumped out of my seat at my desk. And then another tweet right after that saying that Dallas is finalizing the. I was freaking out at my desk.
I first read the tweet that he said he was unhappy, what I said to you, what I thought could happen, and this was sort of like pie in the sky, but I was like, wouldn't it be awesome if. So the Knicks trade to get Anthony Davis, they said send Porzingis to Dallas, and the Pelicans get Dennis Smith. Mm-hmm. So that was like my kind of thing, because I knew those two players wanted to be traded, and I think New York might have been an option for Davis, but it didn't even take that. It was just like, yeah, we'll do it for Dennis Smith. Well, and I mean, talk about the most timely triple-double ever.
And we were talking about this last night when we found out Donnie was at the game, or he was in New York. Dennis Smith had a big game playing in New York.
Yeah, his agent was there.
Kristaps Porzingis hadn't been at a game in who knows how long. All these things that should have been kind of like a hint. Hey, you know.
But I didn't think it was for Porzingis.
Me neither. I didn't think that either.
Because everyone was just saying Tim Hardaway Jr. Yes, that was really what it was centered around.
Which, honestly, for Dennis Smith, any player would have been good. Well, but we turned Dennis Smith into Porzingis.
Like, you know, let's just... Look at the numbers. Like, whatever you think about Smith, okay, he's averaging 13 points a game. So let's just take that fact that you took the centerpiece of this trade is averaging 13 points a game, and you got Porzingis, who's averaging 23. Mm-hmm. Like, that's insane.
And you traded Matthews, who I think is at 13 a game,
for
Hardaway, who's at 19 a game.
Probably again, will be 13 with the Mavs.
You know, because he's... We don't think he's very good.
Well, he's shooting 39%. Yes. So you make him a little more efficient, take the ball away, you know, for better players. I put him at 13.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Courtney Lee was the starting two guard over Tim Hardaway, mainly because of his defense and his reliable three-point shooting.
And he's a veteran.
And Carlisle loves him some veterans.
Yeah.
He's going to be the new Wes Matthews. Courtney Lee is.
We're going to
be posting up Courtney
Lee. Don't say it. Don't even say it.
He's going to be dribbling off his foot.
Yeah.
And Porzingis and Luka are going to be standing in the corners while Harrison Barnes and Courtney Lee are going to town.
Yeah, I don't know if I could handle that. Side note, though, the Mavericks are playing the Pistons right now, and they're winning.
Without Luka, without Wes, DeAndre, who else did they trade away? That's it, yeah.
I don't know. Is Dirk playing?
Dirk is out there, yes.
Yeah, okay. This is pretty crazy. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, the whole future of the Mavericks changed.
Yeah, just like that.
In an hour, everything was different. Now it's almost like you've guaranteed Luka's going to stay. Because unlike Anthony Davis, he didn't have to wait 7 years for you to put a team around him.
I know.
He's got his rookie year.
I was thinking, Davis has got to be thinking this. Like, man, the Mavs draft Luka, realize he's a star, and that his rookie season, they make a huge deal to bring in another guy. And he's like, man, I've been here for 7 years.
Yeah.
The best player you've brought in was
Drew Holiday. No disrespect to Drew.
He is good, but not.
I mean, they did bring in Cousins.
Well, but then they let him go.
Yeah, well, that was stupid to not re-sign him. But it shows that it's not really a small market issue. It's a management issue. And if the Mavericks, if Cuban just lets Donnie make the decisions and do everything, great things happen. I mean, from Dirk to Luka to now Porzingis.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the whole like small market team. Think about some of the worst teams in the league right now and some of the best teams. Mm-hmm. New York, that's a huge market. And they're
Chicago.
Chicago, whereas like Milwaukee, they're really good right now because they've done well. Or going, you know, to
Oklahoma City, yeah, San Antonio.
Or like the Clippers are good right now, but they were awful for a while. And they're in the same city as the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, and then Oklahoma City, San Antonio,
It's not a small market issue. It's a management problem.
Now, I agree that players like going to LA or Miami or wherever, but it doesn't always happen that way. And if you're a good manager, you can work trades and the draft and get the right free agents to still have a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's another one of those.
Yeah, Toronto. So,
yeah, you know, the Mavericks basically have secured their future. Now, it's still a risk because you don't know about Porzingis' health, but I have a, it's just a gut feeling. But, you know, this is a classic good player with one team, always hurt.
Yeah.
Every year. Gets traded, never hurt again. It happened with Vince Carter when he was with Toronto. He was hurt towards the end of his time there with Toronto. Gets traded to New Jersey.
Never injured again.
Never injured again, you know. So it happens all the time, and I hope that happens here with Porzingis and Luka.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. And Porzingis, he's been an all-star, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Luka should have been an all-star. They announced the reserves this tonight, like 30 minutes ago, and he didn't make it, which I'm upset about. And I mean, I think that it is just because he's a rookie.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's all it is. The other guys, I get it. They all deserved it. The one guy that I think was like, was Karl Anthony Towns. And then the other guy who you could maybe make a case for Luka making it over him was LaMarcus Aldridge. Because Aldridge's numbers aren't like so much better than Luka's to where it's obvious.
He's averaging 21-9.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's having an all-star type year, but Luka is averaging almost 21. 7 rebounds, but he also is averaging over 5 assists. And then also, the thing that Luka has over any of these other guys really is his clutch performance, and where he leads the league or he's up there at the tops of the league in field goal percentage, and then also the most baskets to tie or take the lead in the last 5 minutes. I do think that he deserved it over Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, Towns is putting up 22 or almost 23-12 with 3 assists. He's a really good player, but his team is in the same boat as the Mavericks. They're not really winning. And you could make the case that he's got a lot better help with his team than Doncic has with his team. But I do think it was a rookie thing.
Me too.
But a lot of people, you know, it's so close. And we were talking about, if he were in the East, He'd be a starter. Yeah. He'd be starting over Kemba Walker. You know, their bench all-star team is just garbage compared to the West.
It's not great. Like, when they started announcing the West all-star reserves, I was like, well,
he's not
going
to make it.
Russell freaking Westbrook is a reserve.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, like, there's no way he's making it. Because they started with the East, and I was like, you know what? I think he's got a shot, because these guys, he's better than. But when they got to the West, it was like Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, yeah. You know, the West reserves are all MVP candidates. Davis, Westbrook, Jokic, Lillard,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're
Jokic,
all MVP
yeah.
candidates.
And in the East, it was...
I don't even know who.
Kyle Lowry, who's averaging 14-9.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Kyle Lowry's a good player, but...
He's not an all-star.
Not in the West. He's not even sniffing the all-star game. You know, so... It's disappointing he didn't make it.
He'll make it next year.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to make it next year. Hopefully him and Porzingis can make it next year. And if they have a really good record, I think their offense is going to be unstoppable with both of them. And I hope that he's closer to returning, because I really want to see him on the court with Luka in a Mavs jersey.
Yeah, I think that next year he should definitely be. I mean, just because he got... 4 million votes.
Yeah, he was third overall.
Yeah, something like that. But it's okay. He'll be an all-star next year. And next year, the Mavs should also be just a better team. I mean, this year, they haven't been very good. But next year, I think they'll be... People are talking about, like, within the next 3 years, could they be contending for a title? And I don't know. That might be going too far, but maybe not.
Yeah, you potentially have two all-stars. And, you know, who's not going to want to play with Luka and Porzingis? You know, so who knows what they'll be able to put around them. And also, based on Luka's trajectory, he's on pace to be a LeBron-type player. And LeBron takes every team to the finals, to the playoffs. True. And if he's close to that level and he's got Porzingis with him already, they should be a really, really good team.
So they're showing highlights of Porzingis right now on Fox Sports Southwest during the game. And it's weird. I haven't seen him play in so long. I mean, it seems like it's been forever.
It's time for a YouTube binge.
Yeah. As soon as I got home, I was like,
YouTube
Porzingis highlights. Yeah. And I remember this game where they were showing the highlights from where I remember it because they were wearing the green throwback jerseys, which I really liked. And that was the first time Porzingis got to play against Dirk. And when he walked up to him before the game, mm-hmm. and the way he, like, it was so awkward. Because you could tell he was so nervous. Yeah. But he wanted to, like, be casual, give him a hug.
It was
like
Luka
hey,
with LeBron.
Man.
Yeah. It was like Luka with LeBron.
Yeah.
And I remember Dirk had a huge game. Like, he started off on fire or something and made every shot.
Showed off
Chris
the moves.
Dance. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Porzingis didn't mind. I mean, I would love to get schooled by Dirk. Like, it would be an honor.
On your deathbed, you're like, you know what? I got shot on by Dirk.
I got schooled by Dirk.
Yeah.
He's going to tell his grandkids about that. And yeah, so I think next year they'll be better. And I think it's also perfect timing because the Warriors have really, like, the past 5 years, there wasn't even any point in trying. It, mm-hmm. Once they got so good, it was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It didn't mm-hmm. matter who you got, what your team was. They were going to win. But with contracts running out, guys getting a little bit older, there's already been like some friction. And I'm not saying like those are huge problems, but those are the things that happen when a dynasty kind of starts to wear down. It can only last so long. And I think that the Warriors dynasty is kind of winding down. They'll still be elite.
Let's hope.
Well, yeah, I mean, they'll still be elite. As long as they have Curry and whatever guys they keep, I think they'll still be a top team and maybe make it to the conference finals. They're going to be elite. But I think the days of, like, it not even being worth your while to try, mm-hmm. I think those days are over within the next couple years.
Yeah, and either way, you have players now that can compete, that can make shots when they need to make them. And again, Donnie pulls miracles out of nowhere. And so who knows who else he's going to get with to pair up with Luka and Porzingis. So who knows what the Mavericks team is going to be in a couple of years. But you have at least a foundation now. And, you know, Luke has got to be happy. He's got his buddy Porzingis playing with him. He didn't have to wait 7 years and demand a trade. You know, he got another all-star with him already. And Porzingis gets to play with his buddy, his idol. It's just, you couldn't write it any better.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have woke up to a better day.
Well, and I remember when the Knicks drafted Porzingis and then he turned out to be really good. And I always thought, like, you know, it just, he needs to be in Dallas. It's just, it just feels right. Like, this is where he should be because of Dirk and the way that they've, you know, developed guys just like Dirk. Yeah. And then Luka came in and was like, Porzingis should be here. Yeah, and now he is.
That, GIF or GIF, whatever you prefer to say.
It's GIF.
That one where Porzingis and Luka are embracing, shaking hands when he's going to the halftime. And people are saying that Porzingis is saying, save me a seat on the plane or something like that. And they both laugh and run away. It's just awesome. Like, if they knew that before the actual trade happened, and that's why Porzingis was there. And, you know, it was just fun to see.
That's
and
some
just...
next level of spying, though. I don't know about that. I can't read lips.
Yeah.
So also, like, game update, the Mavericks are destroying the Pistons.
This is a classic trap, though, because the Pistons
thought.
You know, the Mavericks are going out there
they
with Brunson and Brokoff, you know, and Sala Mejri, and Luka's not playing. They just made a huge trade. So they were probably expecting an easy game. And, you know, Dallas, hopefully it'd be nice to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, with Luka out. And waiting for the reinforcements to come in.
Yeah, so, but anyways, going back to the trade again, because we're probably going to talk about this all night, like, even after the episode. But I think another, like, really exciting part of it is that both of them are so young.
Oh, yeah. So, like, 23 is Porzingis.
Yeah, and so, in you know, Doncic is 19. So going back to this whole time period where the Warriors have, like, ruled the NBA, you know, I'm not saying that's going to break down overnight, but the fact is that these guys are so young. You've got 10 years with them, and that the Warriors are going to be done by then. The Rockets are going to break up at some point. So I think this is perfect timing. You have plenty of time to build on an already great team.
I mean, it's unbelievable how the Mavericks' fortunes or their season, their future has changed. You know, in an instant. And just think about in 4 or 5 years when Porzingis is 28 in the middle of his prime, dropping 20 and 10 a game. Luka
hopefully
is...
hopefully more than 20 and 10.
Well, you know, just... I'm just saying. And then Luka is averaging 25, 8 and 8, like LeBron-type numbers. Mm-hmm. They're winning 60 games. They're both in their prime. They're both young. It's just... there's a lot of potential here, and it's just really exciting. I'm screaming like a little girl in my head right now.
Yeah, it's you know, like, drafting Luka was the start of it. That completely changed the franchise almost immediately because you knew he was going to be good. Now,
they didn't know he was going to be this good early.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is they didn't know it was going to be this early. Like, obviously they thought he was going to be good. They gave up a first round pick. They made, you know, kind of a risky trade because Trae Young was also supposed to be really good. So I think they thought he was going to be really good, but just not this season, not this early. And when that happened, it was like, whoa, things just sped up a lot.
Well, you're looking at next year, them being
a playoff team,
top team in the West.
Yeah. And so then it was like, okay, we don't need to mess around with these guys. Like, if you know, if it's not working, we got to move on because this guy is already good. We already need to start building around him. Mm-hmm. And then they pull off this trade, and it's just, it's really exciting. And like I've said before, I kind of stopped caring about losing because I knew with Luka things were going to be fine in the future. And now it's even more so. Like, this season served its purpose. Luka turned out to be great. They got Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, the losing and all that will take care of itself. But this season, I think, is like, it served its purpose.
I mean, what more can we say? It's just an exciting time to be a Mavs fan.
What are they? What was it?
And 47-38. It's 47-38. Mavs are beating the Pistons again. I think this is just a trap game.
Blake Griffin has got to be so mad right now.
Yeah, especially when he sees Porzingis moving on. I just see all the player reactions.
from NBA players. Carl they were Anthony just Towns
was like, or maybe that was Embiid. He was
Embiid
like,
was LOL. Yeah, for like 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Knicks, one, got fleeced, and then two, were just dumb.
Well, they rushed it. Like, there's no need for them to, like, to, why not wait until the trade deadline to see? Obviously, the Mavs were happy because they didn't want to wait. But why not wait until the trade deadline to see if another team comes up? And maybe they do offer you Anthony Davis for Porzingis, you know? Not that that would happen, but you never know what's going to come up. And they just did it instantly.
Do you think the triple-double had anything to do with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's why the Mavs were winning by 25. Why put Dennis Smith back
out there? Well, Smith said that some of the guys on the bench asked Carlisle to put him back in because they knew he was close. So, like, DeAndre wanted him to go back in, so he asked Carlisle so that he could get it. Which is another reason why I didn't like DeAndre, because he showed favoritism to Smith, and I didn't like that.
Well, they're both gone, and now that emotional...
I know, I'm just saying.
Crybaby Dennis Smith.
He's not a crybaby.
I mean, he... Okay, last night in one of the... Whenever there was a timeout called, he wasn't playing well. He's going out of the game for Luka on his first break. And as he's walking past Luka, Luka does a high five, gets ignored by Dennis Smith. And so Luka just does it for DeAndre, I think.
Well,
and
maybe
and
just didn't
it was
see
so
him.
Awkward that Dennis Smith walked underneath the DeAndre Luka hand bridge when they were doing a high five. He just walked underneath it, and they both, like, Luka was like, whatever, you know, I don't care.
I will say Smith doesn't handle, you know,
anything.
I'd say. This is a common saying, and I think it's true of Smith. He doesn't handle adversity very well in any form. Like, if he didn't like the way Carlisle was treating him, or if he's not having a good game, or if he's not getting the minutes that he wants.
Some powder.
Yeah, those are things that's adversity, and he doesn't handle those situations well. Yeah, he'll pout, and not just, like, you know, get mad at Carlisle, but even if he's having a bad game, he goes to the bench and slumps over. And he doesn't handle those situations well. And I think Carlisle, he is not the kind of coach to put up with that. I think that really bugged him. Plus, whatever else, God knows what else was happening in practice. And so, I think Carlisle probably didn't like him. And the good thing is, they have Luka, so it didn't matter anyway. Nope. Like, even if you like Smith, or, you know, if Cuban and Donnie liked Smith, they have Luka, who is better. So what does it matter? You trade him for a guy like Porzingis, and everything is fine. And Smith can go to New York, and maybe he'll average 20 points a game. I doubt it, but maybe he'll do that. But it doesn't matter, because the Mavs have their point guard and their franchise player of the future.
But even if Dennis Smith was, you know, averaging 18 a game here. I mean, it's Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, you're talking about a guy 23 years old who, before his injury, was top 10 maybe in players under 25, top 5 players under 25. You know, now Luka is there. I'm sure Luka's probably top 3. I think Antetokounmpo.
Well, players under 25.
Yeah.
That's a lot of players.
Well, but he's better than all of them.
I'd have to see the list.
Yeah, either way, that's a topic for another discussion.
Okay, so I think that's not all we have to say about the trade, but everything else would just be repetitive and screaming like a little girl or something. So that's all we need to say for now. We'll have another episode on Monday. It'll be posted on Monday, and I'm sure we'll get into it then. But for now, it's just trade reaction. And then really, and I thought Luka would be an all-star. I'm really disappointed about that, but it is what it is. He'll be an all-star next year.
I mean, I already want next season to start.
Yeah,
like, I want to fast forward time.
It's like I said, this season is done.
Yeah, it's like, can we just move on? But we have so long. Yeah. We have until October.
Well, but we still have the All-Star break. Like, Luka is in the Skills Challenge. Dirk is in the 3-point contest. Luka is also in the
Dennis
Rising
Smith's
Stars
gonna
game.
Be in the dunk. Dennis Smith.
He's going to be in the dunk contest. So that'll still be fun for the Mavs. I really hope that he was going to be in the All-Star game. But I think he'll be there next year. The Mavs will be better next year. I think they'll be a playoff team next year.
It depends on what other pieces they get. I really do think that the offense with Luka and Porzingis is going to be so deadly that they may not win a championship, but I see them winning a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think, like, you can have a really good team And it kind of like the Thunder, like they were always in the discussion. It just depends on if you can get the right pieces around those guys.
And to be fair, if, you know, the Warriors didn't exist, the Thunder probably had another shot.
Well, the Thunder should have been in the finals. And that's not the Warriors' fault. That's Kevin Durant's fault for choking and then joining the, which we don't have to talk about that. Yeah.
So, we'll see how it goes.
And so we'll have another podcast on Monday, and we'll see whatever else happens. The Mavs are beating the Pistons right now. Is there a game between now and Monday?
For, Saturday.
Yeah. Of course, Porzingis probably won't be there. So.
Well, we got to find out what his actual status is. Is he healthy or not? Is he ready to go or not?
I'm sure they might talk about that after the game. So anyways, thank you guys for listening. I think that's pretty much it. We're just... Like, long term, though, thank you for listening to all of these episodes. I said this a couple episodes ago. Like, we're really surprised by all of the support. We cannot get enough Mavs content. And so we're glad that you guys are the same way and that you enjoy listening to this, too. You can listen everywhere. But if you download the Anchor app, anchor.fm, if you download their app, you can send us a recorded voice message. Find the podcast, Dallas Hoops Fancast, and send a message to us. And tell us what you think of this trade, how you feel about it. You can leave a message of just you screaming, because that's honestly what we're doing inside right now. Please do
that.
Now.
We will put that on our next show.
But anyways, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.